overview. Oh, we've done all that. We'll go back to the start. Hang on. Unless you all want to go back to the start. Excellent. So, we're going to have a little bit of an overview. So, where you know where we are in this whole scheme of world history, and importantly, where the people of God are in their history here. So, when we are diving into the start of the book of Daniel, this whole area of Mesopotamia, what's now the Middle East, is ruled by the mighty kingdom of Assyria. They started out as a small collection of city-states, and now they've grew into this vast, sprawling empire. So vast, so sprawling, that they've taken over the once mighty old kingdom of Egypt and have set up this rule over a vast, vast area. And it's into this Assyrian-dominated society that Judah now sits. The people of God now sit as that little yellow part there. The nation was split into two, Israel to the north, Judah to the south. Israel were sent into exile already. Their cities have been destroyed and they've gone into captivity with the Assyrian Empire. But Judah, this small enclave, hangs on. And the reason that Judah hangs on as a small enclave is not because of their own military might, but because they paid lots and lots of gold to the Assyrians in tribute to keep them. So if you go to the London Museum, you can see this. It's known as the Black Obelisk. And this is in the Assyrian section of the London Museum. And here on the Black Obelisk, you see a guy bowing down in tribute. So a big massive beard means that you're a mighty king. Everyone loves a good beard. And so the guys on the right are bowing down in tribute. And this is known as the tribe of Omri in the cuneiform that it's written in. And the tribe of Omri are the nation of Israel. So this is the nation of Israel paying tribute to the mighty king of Assyria there. And Judah did exactly the same thing, but kept paying tribute when Israel didn't. And that's why they now exist as this small little enclave in the middle of this vast Assyrian kingdom. So here in this area, dominated by Assyria, we then have the rise of this guy, Nabopolassar. Now, Nabopolassar is a Chaldean, what's come to known as a Babylonian. And he decides with other nations like the Persians, the Medes, that you may have heard about in history, they all decide that they're going to rise up together. The Assyrian Empire has been crumbling due to lots of different issues back in its home states and people rebelling. So they decide now is the time to strike. They rise up against this mighty empire and they overthrow it. And Nabopolassar is the king of Babylon, who then forms his empire. It's his son, Nebuchadnezzar II. He should have a name. He's not got a name. That's Nebuchadnezzar II. You can tell he's a mighty king because he has a mighty good beard. It's all about the mighty good beards. And this is Nebuchadnezzar II. It's Nebuchadnezzar II who is the king that we'll read about in Daniel. And what Nebuchadnezzar did is he carried on what his father had formed with this Neo-Babylonian Empire, this new Babylonian Empire, this post-Assyrian one. And he expanded it further and further and further. And he keeps fighting against the old kingdom of Egypt, which is now known as the Saint Dynasty. And he starts establishing this mighty Neo-Babylonian Empire right in the heartland of Mesopotamia. And again, Judah we see here as this small enclave in the middle of the Babylonian Empire. Now, whilst Nebuchadnezzar is fighting against the Egyptians in this newly formed Saint Dynasty, Judah becomes a constant thorn in Nebuchadnezzar's side. Because the king's promised that wherever you go, mighty king of Babylon, I will follow you. No trouble from me, governor. I'll pay my tributes every year. The people will behave themselves. You crack on and do the war. But it doesn't happen. Every time Nebuchadnezzar goes to fight against the kingdom of Egypt, he's got to take his armies back because Judah starts tampering with the supply lines, supplying the men on the front. They start rebelling. They start forming their own kings and overthrowing the kings that Nebuchadnezzar has put in place. So Nebuchadnezzar says, why am I having all of this hassle from such a small, tiny people as Judah? So he decides that he's had enough. The king at the time on the throne of Judah is Jehoiakim, who we read about earlier. And he orders Ashpenaz, his chief official, to move on to the area of Judah to besiege their chief town of Jerusalem and to break the rebels that were in Judah, causing him so much aggro when he's just trying to get on with a lovely war down in the south. So Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who we come to know as Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they get their new Babylonian names, they're the first people to be taken away. Nebuchadnezzar surrounds the surrounds Jerusalem. He lays siege to the city for 3 years. And then after he's laid siege to it, he takes the chosen people, some of the choice people from the area, and carts them back to Babylon to go and serve him. What we then have in the meantime, when Daniel and his friends are in Babylon, we have a guy called Amal-Marduk, who we read a little bit about in the prophet Jeremiah, who is a prophet at the same time. He tells us a little bit about Amal-Marduk, which is translated evil Marduk. You might read it in your Bibles. And then there's a king called Nergal-Sharezer, who we don't really hear much about. He's only a king for about 4 or 5 months. And then after they've been the king, we then move on to these two guys here, Nabonidus and Belshazzar. And they will be, particularly Belshazzar, you will read about later on when you go through Daniel. Now, Nabonidus is not a popular king. I think he's pole dancing in this picture. He's not a popular king at all. He transforms the religion of the people of the Babylonian Empire. He starts to centralize the religion. He starts to say, you can't worship Marduk, the god of Babylon, in your own places. I want you to get rid of all your own household statues and you have to come and worship in Babylon. So because of this centralization, as well as lots of other stuff, he's a particularly unpopular king. And it's this context which had lots of historians and archaeologists saying that this was a proof that the Bible was incorrect. Because we read in Daniel that Belshazzar is the king in Babylon, where from history we know that actually it was Nabonidus. And Nabonidus is ruling this huge, vast empire that stretches all the way across there. And it was into this context of historians disagreeing with the Bible that in 1879, this was unearthed at ruins at an excavation they were doing in Babylon. And this is known as the Cyrus Cylinder. Has anybody ever come across the Cyrus Cylinder before? If you've been to the British Museum, you'd have come across the Cyrus Cylinder. It's tucked away in a display cabinet on the fourth floor. The Cyrus Cylinder, when they interpreted it, it says that even though Nabonidus was the king of Babylon, he spent most of his time off on foreign adventures, and he left his son Belshazzar in charge of the home kingdom. So when we read in the Bible later on, when Daniel pleases Belshazzar, and Belshazzar says to him, you will be the third most powerful person in the kingdom, well, that's because Belshazzar's number two, because the king Nabonidus is off fighting elsewhere. It also talked about the Cyrus sending home the exiles, where before historians said there's no proof that the Israelites went back whatsoever. And then they unearthed this and went, well, actually, it says there that he sent all of the people who were exiled back home. And we can read about that in chapter 7 of Daniel, which we'll get onto when we get there. It works out that the Bible is actually telling the truth all along. Who would have thought it? but when indeed did all this happen? My short snapshot through history. Let's play higher or lower. So I'm going to split you equally into two. So I'm going to go down the middle. So Reuben, I'm going to separate you from your dad. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You're going to be on this side. Daniel, Toby, Annalie, Richard. Everyone on this side is with this half here. And that includes, you've got the wonderful music team as well. So you're on this side. And then splitting down the hill, I'm splitting families and marriages and everything up here. Right down the middle, you guys, everyone from this side here, are going to be together this side. So you need to elect yourself one spokesman. So we need a spokesman from each side. Elect your spokesman. It's got to be Dan. Danny's saying it's got to be Dan. It's got to be Dan. Oh, I don't know. Let's have, what about teenagers?
That's a teenager for me.
Adelaide.
Stu's already been drumming this morning. He's been doing it. Where's Adelaide? Adelaide, come on, Adelaide. Come on, Adelaide. Bethan, you have to back as well. Come on, Bethan.
Come on, Bethan. There we go, Annalie and Bethan. Seems you, well, seems Bethan don't come over to the youth anymore, she just sits over here, so we've got to get her doing something. So Bethan, come and head up your side. Annalie, head up your side, give them a whoo, 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 get them very fired up, get them all fired up so we're all good to go.
You're an actress.
Go on, Bethan, that was Paul. Go on, Bethan. Oh, there we go.
Yes, that's it. Passion and fire. Go on, Bethan.
Brilliant. So,
hopefully we're going to play a game of higher low, and we're going to see if we can fathom out when all this escapade happened and when we think the book of Daniel was written. So I'm going to show you a date, and you're going to say higher if you think the date's too old, so it needs to be newer, or if you see a date that you think is too new, so if I said 2020 AD, for example, you'd say lower, because I think Daniel was written before time. So it's like 20 years old, so I know that. Right, so are you ready? So a nice, easy first one to get you going. So let's start with Annalie. So Annalie, 1878 AD. What do we think is a team? 1917, either one. 1978, higher or lower?
Lower.
Absolutely lower, there we go. Excellent. Team Bethan, are you ready? You just give Team Bethan, have you got a name?
Team Bethan
it is. Team Bethan, are you ready? 4,200 BC.
Higher.
We're going
for higher. Okay, that's higher.
Excellent, we're going for higher. Right, Team Annalie, are you ready?
1310 BC.
Higher.
I'm going to put this in context and tell you this is about the time Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt.
Higher.
Higher, excellent.
Oh, Bethan, the pressure's on me. It's like a penalty shootout, this, isn't it? But more exciting.
44 BC. 44 BC. So, those with the keen eye, that's when Caesar was assassinated.
We're going lower, are we? There we go.
44 BC. There we go. 323 BC. Annalie. So, 323 BC was when Alexander the Great died. 323 BC. Emma's lowish all over it. Look, Emma's. But Emma's got access to the PowerPoint. The voice of wisdom coming from the back. I see you, I've clocked on, I know. 3-2, it's indeed lower, well done. Right, Team Bethan, 722
BC. 722 BC. What do we think?
Higher than consensus high.
Well, 722 BC is about the time that the kingdom of Israel went into exile in the Assyrian Empire. So yeah, higher. Annalie, we're narrowing down, aren't we? It's down to the nuts and bolts. 530 BC. 530 BC.
Fire.
Fire, yeah. You're fired, sit down. What do you think, team? 530 BC.
Higher.
You think higher?
Lower.
Lower. Higher. Do you don't know? We'll phone a friend on that.
Dan might know when Daniel is.
Well, that's faultless logic. Yeah. You met Dan, right?
What happened in
530 BC? Seriously, the Great died.
Oh, right, yeah.
That day, we remember that. Yeah. I don't think anyone in this room who remembers that day.
Higher.
Higher.
You think higher, so you think after that?
Lower.
So Cyrus, we will read about in the latter part of Daniel, is the king who comes in and wipes out the Babylonians, puts a new empire in place, and sends all of the Judeans back. Bethan, this is going to be it, mate. They lost. If you get this, then Team Bethan wins. So it'd be a lot better if you picked a cool name. Are you ready? 610 BC.
This is for the win, Bethan. Come on, it's for the win. 610 BC. You think higher?
610 BC? Logic? Why do you think 610?
Because
I was 10, I said.
Swayed by popular opinion. Great.
So we're going higher. Higher than 610 BC. Absolutely higher than 610. So 610 BC was about the time that Nebuchadnezzar smashed down the walls of the temple and took the Judeans captive. So you can sit down. So there we go. About there, between 68 BC and about 538 BC is sort of the time that we're talking about in Daniel. I don't know why I keep flicking on. There we go. So 608 BC is a couple of years after Daniel and his friends have been took over to Babylon. And 538 BC is a couple of years after they're restored back in. That's not me. There we go. Actually, he really wants to show that next slide, doesn't it? So there we go. Between 608 BC and 538 BC. And you'll read different people, different commentators will give you different dates. Some will say that it's quite a newer book looking back in. But either way, it's focused on this period that we're looking at in the history of God's people. So we're going to sing again. And as we sing again, we're going to take...